I would say that while there's many people who claim to be a Christian, not many people actually follow Jesus. I actually like what Gandhi says here. I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And while this seems to be a shot at Christianity, I think there's a lot of truth behind what Gandhi's saying here. I remember going to college, and there was a group of people who claimed to be Christians, and they stood on podiums and screamed to students that they were all going to burn in hell. And while I'm a firm advocate of warning people about hell, it must be done in love, and it must be tied to the gospel so that they cannot go to hell. So what I disagreed with the most from these people is that they would preach hell without preaching the saving work of Jesus. So all that to say, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you follow Jesus, nor does it mean that you have his heart. And just because you go to church doesn't mean that you live like him either. So if you call yourself a Christian, I do want to challenge you. Are you actually following Jesus? Or are you a Christian just because your family is, or because Christianity to you is a get out of hell for free card? So, if you want to be serious about your walk with God, I would encourage you to follow these 5 steps.
Quick shout out to our sponsor, Private Internet Access VPN. Using the internet without PIA is kind of like walking around with your shopping receipts printed on your shirt. Everyone from your internet provider to advertisers and even hackers can see exactly what you've been up to online. It's personal information just out there for anyone to read. Enter Private Internet Access. They encrypt your connection, hide your IP address, and keep your digital activity private. And with servers in 91 countries and all 50 states, you're always covered no matter where you connect from. One of the things I respect the most about PIA is how open they are about how everything works. Their app is fully open source, which means anyone can inspect their code, and that kind of transparency builds a lot of trust, especially when you're dealing with privacy. And it's not just about security. PIA also helps you access content that's blocked in your region. For example, one of my favorite movies, Interstellar, isn't available here in the US, but with PIA, you can change your server and stream it from another country's library. Just one more way it puts you in control of your internet experience. Right now, PIA is offering Impact viewers an exclusive 83% discount plus 4 extra months free. That's just $2.03 a month, and it's completely risk-free with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to piavpn.com/impactvideoministries or click the link in the description to get started today. That's piavpn.com/impactvideoministries. Protect your digital life the smart way. All right, back to the video.
Step number one. Go to Jesus for your identity. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In this passage, Paul is writing to a group of churches in the region of Galatia, or modern-day Turkey. And here, Paul says something interesting because despite him being alive and well when he wrote this letter, he said that he was crucified with Christ. So this obviously wasn't literal, but representative of something deeper. And what Paul was essentially saying was that the man that he used to be and the sinful things that he did are dead and gone, and they do not define him. So you see, when it comes to following God, I think the first step that should take place is for people to understand their identity in Jesus. So for those of you who don't know, Paul had a horrible past. He literally was responsible for the death of people who loved and followed God. And while Paul could have been hung up on the guilt of his past, he instead chose to focus on his new identity in Jesus. So notice how Paul says that it's no longer him that lives, but Jesus. Meaning, he no longer lives for himself, but for God. And as soon as Paul says that, he says that he lives by faith for the Son of God who loved him and died for him. So see here how Paul's identity is all about God. So for people who genuinely want to follow God, like Paul, they need to own an identity that focuses on God. So let's consider the identity the world gives you. If you play sports, you're an athlete. If you get good grades in school, you're smart. And if you make a lot of money, you're rich, and so on. But it also works in the negative. If you can't get past an addiction, you can label yourself as a failure. If you've always had a problem making and keeping friends, you can label yourself as being alone. And if you feel like you're always messing everything up, you can label yourself as never enough. And the problem with performance-based identities is that the positive ones are shaky at best because they're like a never-ending race to maintain, and the negative ones are like a prison that day by day drains you of hope. So if you're someone that wants to follow God, there's two separate situations. If you're someone that's following God right now, own the fact that your sin does not define you. Jesus does. So like Paul, know that your sins were paid for on the cross, and then let go of shame and focus on God, and realize that you are loved by God and that He gave Himself for you. And if you're someone that wants to follow God for your first time, know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, you've messed up, like we all have, but God came in the form of a man and died on the cross to pay for our sins' penalty. So if you want a new identity, believe in the truth that Jesus died for you. And once you own the correct identity, move on to step number two. Go to Jesus for rest. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to a large crowd which had formed around him, and he invited them to come to him if they were tired and that he would give them rest. And I want you to notice who Jesus gave this invitation to. He invited those who were weary and burdened. And the word for weary means exhausted, and it can be connected to people who are tired from bodily labor. And the word for burdened here means to carry a load. And I would say here that sometimes the heaviest loads that we carry are not physical ones, but the emotional and spiritual ones. So Jesus is saying, are you physically tired? Or is something weighing on your mind and heart? Because if that's the case, come to me and I will give you rest. Back in 2020, I struggled with depression so much to the point where I was tempted to end my own life. And the reason why is because I felt like I was letting everyone down. And at the time I was a teacher, and I felt like I could have been a better teacher. I felt like I could have been a better son, brother, friend, Christian, and the list went on. And I went to bed some night saying sorry to God for how much I failed him. And as I sought help, my mentor showed me that I was paying too much attention to myself. I wasn't a good enough son, and I wasn't a good enough Christian. And he encouraged me to instead focus on Jesus and the fact that He is enough. So for you, I get it. Life's busy, tiring, and sometimes it can get dark. And remember, during those times, you need to remember Jesus' words in this passage and to go to Him for rest. And the reason why I say this is because lasting rest is not something that you can manufacture. And I remember there were some days that even though I had more than enough sleep, I was still emotionally tired and spiritually exhausted. And this passage gave me hope because it's a promise. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. And He tells us that as we follow Him and learn from Him, that we'll find rest. And notice how He invites you without any requirements. He doesn't tell you to be pure for a certain number of days or to go through a certain procedure to cleanse yourself. He just says, come to me, no strings attached. So practically speaking, if you want to experience true rest, like this passage says, go to Jesus and learn to follow Him. Because as you do, He will grant you rest. To add to that, part of going to Him for rest is also remembering your identity as a child of God. Which brings us back to our first point. Because in my experience, when you meditate on the fact that you are loved by God, you can learn to have rest no matter your circumstance. Step number three, go to Jesus for direction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Here, Jesus is in the middle of one of His most famous sermons, referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, He lays out what life in the kingdom of heaven looks like. And one of the things you should note here is that Jesus teaches people some pretty extreme lessons. Lessons like loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you, and cutting off your hand and gouging out your eye if they cause you to sin, and to give people your jacket too if they take away your shirt. So when it comes to following Jesus, one of the things you need to go to Him for is direction, because it's in this passage that He tells His followers what to do, and He tells them to seek the kingdom. So notice how it doesn't say to seek your own kingdom. I think many times we make life all about us. We watch our shows, live life to accomplish our goals, make time for our friends, and do the things that we want to do. But the Bible teaches us to seek God's kingdom. And sometimes that looks like doing things that we do not want to do. So question, are you going to God for direction, or are you marching to the beat of your own drum? Think about your family, your ambitions, your friend group, your work, education, all of it. Now, as you think about that, have you taken the time to consider what God would say about the direction that you're going in? Let's take your friend group, for example. To give that to God should get you to reflect if those people tempt you to sin. And if those friends are not saved, it should also get you to think how you could witness to them. When it comes to giving your work life to God, it should look like you working as if you were working for God himself. Meaning, you should probably get to work on time, not cut corners, and do your best. So all that to say, if you want to follow God, I would challenge you to look at every aspect of your life and to go to God for direction on how to move forward with that specific thing. Next, let's move to step number 4. Go to Jesus through Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here, Paul is writing to his friend and spiritual son, Timothy, and he says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. And this is why every video we make on Impact, every step, fact, or point that we cover is rooted in the truth of the Bible. Notice how Paul describes Scripture as being useful. This word in Greek can also be translated as profitable, and these words convey the idea that Scripture is an effective tool to be used as we learn how to follow Jesus. One of the problems that I see with many believers is that they tend to see reading the Bible as being boring and being a burden. And when we don't read it, we just feel guilty. So should the time come and we feel that way, we need to remember that we as followers of God need the Bible. Paul describes God's word as being a sword in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you look at all the pieces of the armor of God, God's word is arguably the only offensive weapon. So can you imagine a police officer waking up in the morning and him thinking to himself, I don't think I need my gun today. So he leaves it at home. Now, chances are he may not need his gun that day, but should he happen to need it, his life will be in danger. And you see, this is a huge problem with many Christians because many times we're too busy for God and we rush into our day without taking the time to arm ourselves with God's word. Meaning, should Satan decide to attack us, like an unarmed police officer, we'd be defenseless and ready to fall. So to get to the point, read your Bible. And I would encourage you to not overthink things and just start reading. To start, you do not need to have some crazy system or plan to read. I'd encourage you to download a Bible app on your phone like YouVersion or Blue Letter Bible and start small. And maybe you read for 2 to 5 minutes a day, and you could start with the Gospel of John if you don't know where to start. And as you read, don't feel pressure to have some incredible revelation, and don't just read because you have to. Instead, as you read, remember that you're just spending time with God. So try to develop in your mind who God is as you read and see how that affects you. And finally, let's cover step number 5. Go to Jesus through prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So right before this passage, Jesus just got done praying, and once he stopped, one of his disciples came up to him and said, Jesus, we want to learn how to pray too. Can you teach us? And this passage that we just read was part of Jesus's answer. So the simplest way to understand prayer is it being a conversation with God. I think many times Christians can struggle with praying and they'll either feel like they're talking to a wall or they have a genie complex where God is the genie and our prayers are just wishes that we want granted. So if you're someone that would like some direction in your prayer life, I have 4 quick steps for you that are based on what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 11. Focus on God, ask for what you need, seek God's response, and be persistent. Let's cover the first step, focus on God. If you read Luke chapter 11 verse 2, after Jesus' disciples ask him how to pray, Jesus answers them immediately and says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So notice how prayer begins with a focus on God. So when you pray, make it about God. Know that he's your Father who loves you, that he's far above in heaven and that he deserves your respect, and that life is all about accomplishing his will and establishing his kingdom. Step number two, ask for what you need. The next part of prayer that Jesus covers is give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins and to not lead us into temptation. So after you focus on God, take the time to think about what you need for the day. Strength, forgiveness for your mess ups, patience with your kids or coworkers, anything. Step number three, seek God's response. So if you look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9, after it says, ask and it will be given to you, the next part says, seek. And I think part of seeking is listening to what God has to say. You see, prayer is a two-way conversation where you communicate to God and he communicates to you. You know, one of the things that I regularly do in my prayer time in the morning is to ask God what he wants me to focus on for the day. And then I sit in silence for a bit until I feel like he tells me something. And then I record it in my journal. So for you, after you ask God for what you need, I would encourage you to add a time of silence and waiting into your prayer so that you can give God room to respond to you. And as you listen, I would also encourage you to learn to discern God's voice from your voice. So I'd also encourage you to ask God to tie what he's saying to you with scripture. Meaning, as you listen in silence, try to see if what God may be telling you is in alignment with what the Bible says. And step number four, be persistent. You see, when Jesus taught prayer, one of the most common themes he talked about was being persistent in prayer. And we see an example of that here in Luke chapter 11 as someone knocked on the door of a friend to get bread. So as you pray, I want you to understand that God wants us to talk to him and God wants us to ask. Also, look at God's heart here in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So all that to say, when you pray, keep going to God and know that you have direct access to him. So to review, here are four simple steps to help you with your prayer life. Focus on God, ask for what you need, seek God's response, and be persistent and keep praying. Remember, prayer is a conversation, and multiple heartfelt conversations typically lead to a strong friendship. So take your time and build your own friendship with God. And if you have more questions about how to pray and prayer in general, check out our video on how to have a deeper prayer life, and the link is in the description below. Okay? So if you actually want to follow Jesus, I would encourage you to follow these five steps. Go to Jesus for your identity, go to Jesus for rest, go to Jesus for direction, go to Jesus through scripture, and go to Jesus through prayer. To close, I do want to say that following Jesus should be simple. It's not about following a bunch of rules, and it's not about going to a bunch of Bible studies. Rather, it's all about having a genuine relationship with the God who loves us. And as your relationship grows, and as you spend more time with God, pretty soon his character will start to rub off on you. So hopefully, when people see us, they also see the God that we serve. So take things one step at a time. And as you do, always remember that Jesus loves you.
Well, that wraps up this video. Thank you guys so much for watching. If this video was a blessing to you, please consider liking, subscribing, and ringing that notification bell so you don't miss a single upload. I also want to say a big thank you to our newest members who joined up, our Impactors. Guys, your support helps us so much. It keeps the lights on at Impact, and it means the world to us. So thank you all for joining, for supporting us, for believing in the work that we're doing. If you're interested in becoming a member, please click the link in the description below where it says join or become a member. For the price of a cup of coffee every month, you could be supporting the work that we're doing here at Impact, and would really mean a lot to us. So thank you so much. I also want to say a big shout out to our Impact team, the people who actually made this video possible. This would be our writers, our storyboard people, our whiteboard people, our editors, editors, our thumbnail artists, our animators. I've probably missed a few others, but these guys are awesome. We really think you'd enjoy checking out their content that they do outside of Impact. This would be all the things that we put in the links in the description for their names under the credits. So give them some love, check them out. We think you'd enjoy that. And the last thing I want to say is we're starting to roll out a lot of merch. So if you are interested in getting something from Impact and the Impact team and what we're designing, we've tagged a lot of the things in the video itself on this video, but we also have links in the descriptions to our store. So if you're interested in getting something from our merch store, feel free to check those out. We'd love for you to see all the things that we have available there. All right, I've been yammering way too long. So thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you next time. My name is Joe. This is Impact. God bless.